Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I welcome back a fine guest. It's been far too long. Former state senator Dale Schultz, Republican once upon a time. Dale, friend of ours. I hope that's a current tense. Dale Schultz, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
I'm pleased to be here, my friend.
Dale, you've been coming on this show for a long time. I just saw a meme of you over the weekend. You actually appeared about 8 years ago over the St. Paddy's Day holiday, and you would come immediately off the floor of the state Senate. And Dale, you were fit to be tied. You were frustrated and sort of demoralized by your party and their efforts to attack the machinations of voting here in the state of Wisconsin. And Dale, I don't mean to put words into your mouth, but it was quite candid, the conversation we had that day. Do you recall that day, Dale, and kind of what we talked about?
Well, I've had that conversation a number of times. I don't know that my story has changed a lot from time to time, but I believe I recall. And my frustration was after initially buying into the idea that we had to be thoughtful about voter integrity, it had become clear to me that what had happened was that voter integrity had suddenly become voter suppression. And as somebody who has always sought to represent everybody and encourage participation in our wonderful democracy, I found it somewhat frustrating. Does that mesh with your recollection?
Yeah, Dale, it does. And it was not the first time there had been questions, everything from voter ID in the state of Wisconsin. I think if I recall correctly, Dale, that date, March of 2014, that was the 10th or 11th floor session where Republicans had taken up different voting measures. Dale, that's how I recall it. And I just recall you were very candid, and it was the first time this little product ever made the national news, Dale. Your quotes were newsworthy enough that you were quoted on MSNBC and all across the spectrum of print media. But Dale, here we are, and it's 8 years later. And I look at some of the little lies that led to the different voting laws in the state of Wisconsin. And Dale, all these laws were written effectively under Republican leadership, yet the outcome of the 2020 election doesn't go the way many of them would like to see. And they're still claiming that it was a rigged election. They've seen the recounts, Dale. They've seen all the different audits, and they're still making the claim, Dale. And I wonder, where does that leave you here in 2022 now, 2 years after that election, Dale? They're still telling the big lie.
Well, the big lie is perplexing, and it is frustrating. And I think it's fair to say that this has hurt the Republican Party and will continue to hurt the Republican Party until wiser and more mature people recognize that the long-term future lies with being aspirational, addressing the problems that ordinary people have in their lives that they would wish that government would sit down and help them with, rather than government and politicians finding ways to agitate and poke the bear, so to speak, about grievances that people have. Now, I know, and you know, from where we're at in the future from 2014 or 15, that analytics and computer power have shown us that the best way to motivate people is to stoke grievances rather than deal with the aspirational end of politics. And what I'd like to see, and I spend a lot of my time dealing with, is trying to find ways to get people to focus on what we can do in a positive way rather than reaching back to grievance and stoking that and dividing people.
Well, Dale, I love having conversations with guys from across the aisle, people like you. I've always enjoyed your company and your conversation, Dale. But I see the current Assembly Republican legislative leaders, guys like Robin Voss, going on radio interviews and saying, effectively, if you elect a Republican AG, we're going to use the dirt dug up by Gableman to go and prosecute elections commissioners in the state of Wisconsin. Dale, you know, I'd love to move on. I'd love to be talking kitchen table issues with you, sir, but I can't move beyond the fascist approach of the current Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, Dale.
Well, remember that what he's talking about investigating is a Republican majority creation that replaced something that was working very well, in my opinion, that I fought to save. The current system was designed not to do anything, and it was done that way by the Republican majority so that it wouldn't investigate anybody. It wouldn't police our elections. And now, because something didn't turn out in an election, they needed a scapegoat. So, you know, you count on people having a short memory, and you go right after the new regime. And, you know, I think this is, you know, running a little bit thin with a lot of people. We've been here before, you're right, we've seen this. And I try to be blunt that this isn't solving any problems. It's hypocritical. And it is something that is hurting the Republican Party, and it's time for us to have a reform and get focused again on dealing with the economy, dealing with healthcare, dealing with you know, the decline in our educational system. And if we would do these things, we'd be a lot better off. Frankly, I don't have an antidote for that other than to call it a lie and be blunt about it, and then refuse to engage in helping to salve the wound as if it was real. And rather, I want to change the subject and talk about what we can do to improve people's lives.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, an old friend, a good friend. We love him here. He is former state senator Dale Schultz from the great state of Wisconsin. He was a twice elected Republican majority leader. And Dale, you and I talked, you know, off air earlier today, had a nice catch up, and you talked about money changed the politics in the state of Wisconsin. This used to be a good governance state. It used to be a campaign finance law leader in the nation. And Dale, that all kind of changed under the former governor, and he saw political advantage to accepting outside donations, to raising caps, to coordinating with outside groups. Dale, I'm not saying it's entirely one team's fault, because my team, the Democratic team, could have cleaned this up and didn't take the opportunity when it presented itself. But Dale, money's the big root of the issue in politics.
Well, there's no question about it. And I want to be clear, in my opinion, this started before the Walker regime. It began with the Citizens United decision, the McCutcheon decision that began to equate money with citizenship, and said that corporations were equal to people in their free speech rights, and that soon became money, and we had the doors blown off and unbelievable amounts of money poured into the system and fueled the change. It costs a lot of money to gather data. And that's what this is about, gathering data and understanding what people are likely to do when prompted with certain messages, and then having the power to feed that back in a feedback loop on social media, particularly, and to motivate people to do this thing or that thing. And, you know, when you combine that with the improvement in other advertising venues, you've got an opportunity to play the public, you know, like they were a piano, and that's unfortunate. And, you know, lots of people won't expose themselves to different ideas. They don't believe they can educate anybody, and they don't believe in being educated. That's something that you and I agree on. There's always the hope that even though we disagree on much, that we might learn something from each other. And when we do, we're glad for that, and we're open to that. And unfortunately, what you wind up with is paying for very slick, very expensive brainwashing that goes on, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, although I would argue that on my side of the aisle, things have gotten totally out of control when you throw in, you know, examples like QAnon, the Proud Boys, you know, and all the other groups that led to the insurrection in Washington, D.C.
Well, Dale, the left might spend its money differently, but it's no less corrupting when the money comes from the left. I believe, like you do, sir, that money is a very corrupting influence in politics. I thought perhaps we could take encouragement by the fact that when we see Democrats, you know, heap these massive war chests, that perhaps we could gain a little Republican advocacy for reining in the campaign finance laws. I mean, here in the state of Wisconsin, suddenly it's the Democratic Party utilizing these new structures to raise massive amounts of money. And Dale, you know, I believe more in most of the politicians on the left, but I still believe they can all be corrupted by enough cash. What's your thought, sir?
There's no doubt about it, and we can have and should have that discussion, just as Tim Cullen and I went around the state and talked about redistricting being abused by both political parties. But just because one party does it doesn't mean the other should do it, especially when the result of that is that the votes of people are diminished. And likewise, money does the same thing. There was a lot of criticism of McCain-Feingold, but it was a pretty good bipartisan bill that sort of kept things in check. And while we may have had differences of opinion about various parts of it, but to essentially throw it out completely created a huge problem. I know, you know, that my first action has become, when becoming majority leader, was to put campaign finance reform on the table. A bill that was negotiated between Senators John Erpenbach and Mike Ellis. And it wasn't perfect, but it was a pretty good bill. We had the majority of both political parties in the Senate on board, and it looked like we were going to pass it. And then Governor Doyle decided that the Democrats were never going to be out of power if they maintained the control of the money, lobbied against it. And there I was at the end of the day, one vote short. Yes, there are sins that are committed on both sides of the aisle, and we're all diminished for it. And I think what we need are people of goodwill who can show people that you can discuss these issues intelligently with a little class, and we can have a better system for everyone. There are people doing it. The Braver Angels is one of my favorite organizations right now. They're out there trying to reintroduce people to their neighbor who might think a little bit differently from them, and guiding a discussion that shows them that they can work together and get to a better place.
Dale, redistricting, the U.S. Supreme Court, I was, I don't want to say shocked. I shouldn't be shocked by the courts anymore, Dale, but I was very surprised that they waded into Wisconsin's redistricting. And this late in the game, people are supposed to be qualifying for ballots, starting to collect signatures in like 3 weeks, Dale. So what was your opinion of the opinion, the shadow docket ruling, sending it back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court for more consideration? I thought this too many black majority-minority voting districts was a very strange rationale, Dale. We got 1 minute. We'll come back. But quick thoughts on the Supreme Court?
I think they ducked the issue. That's what I think. And that's something that they do frequently. And we can talk about that on the other side of the break.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I'm catching up with Dale Schultz, former state senator from the great state of Wisconsin. He is a twice elected majority party leader back when, you know, Republicans were good guys, or at least Dale was. First time I ever met Dale, I came to your office and you gave me like 30 minutes. I got a father-in-law who is one of your former constituents. That was my excuse to get in the door. Dale, you were very generous with your time that day, and I appreciate the generosity of your time many days since. Come back with us, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Former State Senator Dale Schultz, the other senator he was referencing, former State Senator Tim Cullen, a Democrat who was elected majority leader in his own right. Come back with me and Dale, more Devil's Advocates, the Monday edition.
Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I've been joined live via Zoom by a fine guest. He is former Wisconsin State Senator Dale Schultz, friend of ours. Dale was the twice-elected Republican Majority Leader. Dale's also been a big advocate of fair maps here in the state of Wisconsin, worked extensively with his colleague, Senator Tim Cullen. Dale, you told me you guys have done something approaching 200 appearances together.
Yeah, either on Zoom or in person. And it has been a labor of love over the past 8 or 9 years. And we've enjoyed regaling each other with political stories as we drove around the state. And I'd like to think we did had a lot to do with educating the public in Wisconsin. We've certainly watched the body politic come up to speed on this. And no longer do you find legislative leaders saying nobody cares about this, because the fact is over 70% of the people of Wisconsin believed in what we were advocating. And that includes a majority of Democrats, independents, and yes, even Republicans. And I continue to be active, and we're going to do everything we can to eventually become the victors in this battle and to safeguard our democracy, because it's fragile and we need to do it not just with the gerrymandering, we need to do it with access to the ballot box and a whole host of other issues that are important to and fundamental to democracy.
Dale, we know a decade ago when your party was in power, it was an offsite exercise. You've talked about you as a individual lawmaker were kept in seclusion. You got to see your map and, you know, maybe it was modestly more Republican, but they didn't show you the cumulative effect. And they were doing this with purpose, I think, off campus being outside the state capitol, using outside representation. And Dale, that map has been to great advantage for Republicans. They have overwhelmingly controlled legislative leadership for the last decade. The newest maps, you talk about, the people's will. These maps do not reflect the people's will. The People's Map Commission was soundly rejected by the courts. It was a choice between the Republican map and the Democratic map. And first blush was Tony Evers put the least change map. The Democratic governor put out the least change map. Well, Dale, a lot of the bad stuff was baked in the cake a decade ago, as we've discussed past. What is your opinion? I know we don't have decided maps in the state of Wisconsin, but are we getting closer to fair or not really, sir?
Well, it all depends on what your vision of fairness is. Our goal was never to try to make every seat competitive, because we do know that some people tend to group together. The Democrats in this state tend to be in the large cities. Republicans are suburban and rural in nature. And it's impossible to draw a map without gerrymandering it to make it entirely competitive. What we wanted to do was to create a situation where people weren't making overt attempts to pack or crack districts and to make the result being a very unequal status that didn't reflect symmetry in the overall vote in our Wisconsin legislature. I think that the governor's commission did a pretty good job in that regard. It didn't satisfy everyone, but I, for the most part, thought it was pretty good. I would have rather had us do this and institutionalize it with a program like they have in Iowa, but I think his map was progress. I think that the courts aren't done with us yet. This is dragging out a ridiculously long time, and I'm hoping that when it's all over, we're going to see some more success. I'm not privy to what the governor has in terms of what he's presenting the court with in terms of fine tuning. I don't know what the Republican legislature is going to do, but it sure would be nice if they could come together and think about the people of this state rather than their own self-interest. And I give the governor credit for having tried, so far, the jury's still out.
Dale, I have been guilty in the past of wanting to believe that we had rigged elections, because that's the only way a unpopular governor like Scott Walker could have won re-election, or at least in my perception, because in my silo, everybody hated Scott Walker. And for years, you know, I kind of carried in the back of my mind, well, maybe it was rigged. That's what Roger Stone accused the former governor of. And then I hear it play out on the other side, Dale. I hear it play out through the big lie in 2020, rigged elections. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we've got sort of a unique decentralized 1,850 different voting officials and districts. Dale, it would be nearly impossible to rig an election in any partisan favor in the state of Wisconsin. Do you agree with that assessment, sir?
I absolutely do agree with it. And again, I want to take you back to my earlier answers. And that is, look, this whole election fraud thing has degenerated down into just partisan one-upsmanship, an effort to shave a percentage of votes one way or the other. And I think most of the public has figured that out. And I think it'd be nice if we got our fingers out of local government. I think we have had some oversight. If you look at the Legislative Audit Bureau's conclusions, they had some recommendations, but they didn't even come close to suggesting there was massive fraud that would change the outcome of elections. We've had recalls and a whole host of other people looking at this. It's time to let it go. It's time to take the kids out of the sandbox, hose them off, and tell them to do their jobs and to help the people of Wisconsin do a better job at what we do in terms of delivering service and giving people the freedoms they actually want.
Dale, do you think there should be consequence for those that signed off as false Trump electors in 2020? We had 10 Wisconsinites claim that Trump won the state, signed their name, certified on a piece of paper they weren't committing fraud, but of course they were, Dale. Should there be consequence? Can we move beyond the last election if there's not consequence for those that tell the big lie, sir?
Well, I do, and I wouldn't just stop with them. I'd take a look at everybody else that's been involved in the shenanigans that have gone on over the last few years in Washington, D.C., as well as here in Wisconsin. You look at how we give three strikes and put away kids who might have done a little shoplifting, and we let all these big players off when their crimes are much greater. Yeah, I hope that we do something. You can count me with Adam Kinzinger and Lynn Cheney. It's time the Republican Party reformed itself.
Dale Schultz, I know you've been a little under the weather. How's the hip?
It's doing well. And as the listeners who don't know, I have a little trouble, as did Jimmy Carter, with rabbits. I fell rabbit hunting and fractured my hip, but it seems that we're on the mend, principally because of the wonderful care I'm getting from wife, Rachel.
Well, Dale Schultz, we always appreciate when you come around, man. You give us the best of care as well. Dale Schultz, our good friend, former twice-elected majority leader, former state senator in the state of Wisconsin, friend of ours. Dale, stay well, man. We'll talk to you soon.
I will. You create a great day for yourself now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. More Devils. Hour 2 is next.
Duck season.